trusted source on everything Patriots. It's time for Tom E. Curran.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran
on WEEI?
Absolutely. You know, appreciate and feel strongly about the player and the person. I'm just a great kid. And I'm not going to have any more comments on that right now. I already made them. Yeah. And again, I'm not going to get into that now. There have been a number of things that have gone on for a long period of time. And finally, we just mutually reached the point that we reached. I'm not commenting any further on it. I appreciate all the questions. I really do. That's all I can say for right now. Do I think JC's a good player? Yeah, I think JC's a good player. I think he's a very good player.
Bill Belichick swatting away those questions about Stephon Gilmore earlier this week. We're in hour two of NFL Sunday. And joining us now on the Harbor One hotline, Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Tommy, let's jump right into the Gilmore stuff before we get into today's game. Now that you've had some time to let it set, marinate, listen to what Gilmore had to say, what Bill Belichick had to say, has anything changed in terms of your mind or opinion on anything about this whole Gilmore situation in New England?
Not really. I mean, we could see this coming a mile away as early as, you know, the 2020 early in the really 2019 or 2020 off season that it was going to build to this because, you know, Stephon Gilmore was aging, but had put together a defensive player of the year season in 2019, and he was going to get back to the table and needed to get back to the table. Pseudo holdout at the end of the 2020 training camp when he disappeared, came back with a bump, and he knew he was going to look for more. But in the first 11 games of that season, didn't really play that well. Then he blows out a quad. Then he doesn't get on the practice field. So to see him released and not get the bump or even the contract that he was looking for, it doesn't surprise me in the least, and I really don't think that the Patriots, in the big picture, can be faulted for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still a debate. I definitely am one that thinks they can be faulted for it, going back to after the 2019 season and sort of the reset of 2020. But as far as this trade was concerned, Tom, in your mind, does the play of Jalen Mills have any factor in this? Are they happy with him and they feel like he can go? Or if he was playing really, really poorly, would they have maybe made a different decision?
Honestly, I do think that the way the defense is performing enters into it somewhat. But I really think that it had gotten to a point, Rich, with this guy that they're like, look, he wants something different than we want to give him. It's going to turn into a massive pissing contest. Let's just move on. So even if they hadn't been playing well, I'm not sure this wouldn't be the outcome. Mm-hmm. But I think that the performance against Tampa Bay makes them feel okay about it. Mills, of course, is not going to play today. And I think long-term, the Patriots, you know, this will be a much bigger issue if the Patriots fail to re-sign J.C. Jackson this offseason. Because then they're going to be in a position where they have neither of the top corners that they had, and the guys on the roster just are not as good as either J.C. Jackson or Stephon Gilmore were.
Tom, when you talk about J.C. Jackson, you think about he could make anywhere from $15 to $20 million per year. The Patriots, are they going to do that?
They have a lot invested in a lot of different places. Are they going to? I have no idea at this juncture. I think we'll see what happens with that, but he is going to certainly command close to that per year. So is it 3 and 50 and you try and get out that way? I would think that's probably the smartest way to do it. But when you look around the team, you have Isaiah Wynn's already got a guaranteed $10 million next year. So that could be conceivably, if you franchise J.C. Jackson, $25 million into your left corner, into your left tackle and a cornerback, and they're both again on 1 year deals. So the team is really having a lot of difficult decisions that they're going to have to make at positions like that, and also positions where guys are aging.
Tom, when you say you don't really, like, you know, I guess I'm just paraphrasing, you don't judge him or you're not surprised, I guess, as far as what happened with Gilmore, is it because this is what the Patriots have always kind of done, so you shouldn't be surprised? Not holding them accountable for trying to do more. Like, this is what they do, right? So forget to do more.
I get the logic of it. I think it's a good question. I think I haven't watched them for so long, as we all have. I think there are points where I say, well, I get the way they're thinking.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's good. It doesn't mean it.
But I don't disagree with the way they're thinking. What should they have done with Stephon Gilmore now?
Well, do you think that they mismanaged? Do you think they missed a window? Okay, maybe they misunderstood his willingness to kind of hold his ground. Therefore, you couldn't see this last year, like before the 2020 season.
So before the 2020 season, you're in your first year post Brady. And you want to make sure that you don't lose face. He's also coming off a Defensive Player of the Year award. When should they have traded him? Before the season?
When he sold his house.
11 games in when he stopped playing
well. When he sold his house. Before he got hurt. They should have known he was going to get hurt the week before he got hurt.
They should have traded him before the draft.
I'm just saying, I guess, Tom, my point is that ultimately I feel like everyone is conditioned to just accept what the Patriots do because they've always done it and it's always worked. I just feel like it's... You know, now it's like okay, it allows us to kind of, you know, be a little bit more judgmental, even if it's not fair, maybe because I feel like there's an opening there to do so.
No, I got you. No, I'm not excusing the decision because I look at it sometimes and I think it's in vogue to say, well, always side with the player. It's player against management. Look how many, you know, if the players are making $15 million and there's 20 of them, imagine how much the owners are making. And we understand that and I get that. But I have a hard time getting militant for Stephon Gilmore's play. He's made $70 million. He came back last year, wanted a new deal, and then played like ass for most of the year relative to his own ability. I watched games in which he seemed completely disinterested prior to the trade deadline. He was saving himself, and he was doing that again. He's malingering this offseason. We can talk about the quad injury. We can talk about the holdout. But he's showing up to work every day, able to play, and not going on the field. I just don't personally think that this is a similar situation to whether it be J.C. Jackson or Malcolm Butler or even Vince Wilfork back in the day, guys who were on the – he made $65 million here and basically was quitting on the team.
Mm.
So I don't have really a lot of – trust that he should be given $15 million at 31 when he blew out his quad, wasn't playing well, and then was taken sick.
Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston here on NFL Sunday with Wiggy, Fourier, Gresh, and Keefe. What does it tell you about what the rest of the league thinks about Stephon Gilmore that it was a sixth-round pick 2 years from now that he was traded for?
I think they're all holding their breath as to whether or not he's still an elite corner too. Is he still a top 10 guy? Is he a guy who should get $15 million? Is he a guy who should get $10 million? Is he closer to, you know, a Patrick Peterson type point of his career? Or is he, you know, like Jalen Ramsey? So I think that's a big tell as to where he is. I mean, he wants to be paid more than $15 million a year. I wouldn't have done it either.
Now, as for the game today, Tom, you're looking at the old next man up mantra will be tested.
Am I completely in the minority? Is it 4-1 against here?
Yeah. No. Gresh agrees with you. Me and Gresh got in an argument all week about it.
I would have paid
him. Wiggy and Fourier are on the Gilmore
side. What was his deal? Like $7 million this year, right?
Yeah, and my big thing, too, was as soon as you gave him a bump last year, everybody in the world knew he wasn't going to play for seven. Mm-hmm. Even if he sucked last year, he wasn't going to play for seven.
So you wonder why he was sad.
And it felt like they were surprised that they couldn't get something done. It was like, well, that wasn't going to work.
And we're never going to find it out because agent Jason Shea, you know, might unveil it. But, you know, were they going to give him a one-year raise to get him to 15?
Right.
Was it to 12? I mean, if we knew that, that would help. Or was he holding out for an extension?
I would change sides. If he was I want a three-year deal or nothing, then I'd be like, all right, well, then you're getting nothing.
And
but
Tommy,
I thought 1 year would help.
I think the other thing, too, is he's coming off a major quad injury. And corners over 30 rarely, if ever, get paid at the level he wants in the NFL. I think there's just, again, I think it's NFL collusion. As soon as you're 30, you're automatically viewed different unless you're a quarterback.
So how is he viewed as still one of the top six or seven best corners in the league? And Marcus Peters, who's making $14 million a year, and William Jackson, who's making, you know, $13.5 million a year, how are you not paying Gilmore $14 million a year?
I think that question, Wiggy, has to go to 31 other teams who apparently could have got him for nothing and then just given him money. Because we sit here and say all this stuff and we compare these people, but clearly the rest of the league doesn't think Stephon Gilmore is that good, considering unless it would have taken a fifth.
Unless the Patriots didn't talk to those teams.
Logan Ryan's making $10 million. I mean, think about that. You're telling me Gilmore's not worth an extra $4 million? Come on. And there were reports out there, Tom, that Gilmore was willing to just do a one-year bump. So throw an extra $6 million on top of the $7 he has and, you know, lets everybody be
and
happy.
And I find it funny, too, and again, not that the players are the GMs, but how many stud wide receivers and stud quarterbacks were, like, all over social media and stuff being like, hey, call us. Come on. Hey, Gilmore, come over here. Come over here. Like, he would have been recruited. If he was a free agent, he would have been recruited like a NBA player who got cut. So I still think he can play. I don't know for how long.
What's great is we'll find out.
We will.
That's the thing is, you look at Chandler Jones, and the Patriots traded him, and he's played really well.
Yeah.
And I get that the landscape there was different with the four different guys coming up, but we'll see how Stephon Gilmore plays going forward.
And how soon he plays, too, Tom. That's going to be a big thing, too. If he's ready to go the second he is eligible, then I've never thought his injury was that serious. Or at least maybe it was at one point, but it wasn't going to cost him 6 weeks. But if this thing lingers into the season more, then all right, then maybe it is.
And that's the thing, too. Last thing before we get to Houston is he would have come back. They would have started the clock on him, and he would have dragged the 3 weeks out on PUP if he didn't get extra money. So you're basically paying $7 million for 7 weeks for Steph Gilmore, and he's going to get the prorated amount that he wanted. That was a Gronk philosophy a few years ago.
Yeah, true.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, for the game today, the big story is obviously the number of linemen who are down. And I'm trying to think back. There's been times where there's been a patchwork offensive line, maybe two starters, maybe even three starters down. I can't remember a time where both guards, both tackles are going to be out for a game.
I can't either. And this is, to me, we're looking at this as the Texans, and it's a layup win. I think everyone would have considered that a week ago, definitely at the beginning of the year. This is a great spot after Tampa Bay. I think this is a dangerous game for the Patriots that they could certainly lose because of that situation. And if they do win this game, I think you'll see a Bill Belichick who is over the moon. And people, well, it's just the Texans. This is a huge character test game that will be an indicator of what this team is about, I think, Christian and Jermaine. I'm wondering what you guys think on that.
Well, I look at this game, and the way I view this game is – you are not the Patriots where you could just roll your helmet out there and you're going to beat a team like the Texans before, because that's not who you are. You're a defense team. You're a team that's built on defense. Your offense isn't very good. And you're playing without four of your starting five offensive linemen.
Hello?
Yeah, I agree.
Oh. All right.
There you go.
Okay, well, hold on.
Those things are all facts. I didn't know if it was a conclusion off of that.
No. That's it.
All right, so Tom, I agree with the character part.
Christian, they're 8-14 over their last 22 games, going back to 2019, the last two games of 2019. They're 10 and, I think, 16 since they started 8-0 in 2019. It's not a good team. It might be a team that has the potential to become a good team, but it's not. And if and when they lose today to Houston, I think people are really going to get jarred, but they shouldn't be as jarred as they may be.
Yeah, see, I look at this. Obviously, you're playing against another rookie quarterback. We know that what the success rate is there with Bill. I think there's so much, each team is pretty familiar with the other one as far as, you know, there's all the guys that are there, you know, and so their philosophy. And as far as the character, I think that the Houston Texans, are kind of in the same boat. I mean, getting just killed last week by Buffalo, even though it was 19-0 in the third quarter of that game. It was never really that close. It was raining. The conditions were terrible. But for them, I feel like it's the same thing. And if I'm David Culley, I'm like, guys, like, huge opportunity for us. Like, they're just as beat up as us. Like, you know, they're just as – but I just feel like ultimately the Texans just – you know, this may be the one time where the Patriots have better weapons as far as the receiving core – than the other team that they're playing.
They are in a situation, the Patriots are. Again, this we talk about must win, this and that, and I was like, well, what do you mean must win? Are they going to, you know, they're going to be relegated if they don't win? And this is as close to a must win because you get Dallas next week coming in. And right now you're 1-3. If you go to 1-4 and then 1-5 after you spent $165 million in guaranteed contracts, and what's going on is what's going on with the guy you moved on from. And the team starts that poorly, that means that's a bad recipe. That's a bad recipe. So this is as musty win as a must win could be, I think.
Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston, thanks for joining us on NFL Sunday. We'll talk to you during the week with Gresh and Keefe on Wednesday. We'll see you, friend.